Amen. Forgiveness is very much a part of the testimony and the redemptive plan of our country, and that we should continue in that. We don't say too much from the pulpit when it comes to politics, but we do want to encourage our members to vote. We want to encourage you to vote responsibly and to be informed as to what the parties stand for. And then also not to be part of the negativity that often surrounds election time. There's a lot of that, and it actually constitutes a lack of faith often, and also promotes fear in many regards. I think we need to be part of the solution, and we need to be speaking life and blessing over our country. And we need to be praying for whoever is in leadership. So let's go to the polls with that mindset. This morning, we want to just continue with our focus. And the title is Permeate. I think it's quite the word. When I say that word, it conjures up quite a distinct impression. And looking at the definition of the word permeate, is to spread throughout something, to pervade. Like the example here, the aroma of soup permeated the air. Some soup is better than other soup, but maybe it's a nice spicy butternut soup on a cold winter's evening. Some synonyms, pervade, spread through, full, filter through, diffuse through, imbue, penetrate, pass through, percolate through for the coffee lovers, perfuse, extend throughout, be disseminated through, flow through. Remember our theme is outflow. Charge, suffuse, run through, steep, impregnate, inform, and infiltrate. Right. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Paul writes, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." Now, just the two verses preceding that, Paul is saying that he went to Troas to preach the gospel, and he was expecting to find his brother Titus there so they could partner in the ministry, but Titus was nowhere to be found. And so then he went on to Macedonia instead. So he's saying he did these couple of loops and he went around, but he's saying, nevertheless, don't worry, it didn't kind of work out the way he expected. And he maybe didn't get to preach and minister the way he wanted to in Troas. But nevertheless, wherever he goes, he brings a fragrance of Jesus Christ. Now, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. You cannot go anywhere without taking God with you. Sometimes we forget that when we go into the workplace or when we visit with certain friends, we might forget that we're Christians, but we must remember you have not left God outside the front door. He goes with you. But that's good news for us that want to actually reach out to others. That's good news. Wherever you go, you bring a fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ wherever you go. Galatians 5 verse 14 says that the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you have to sum up the whole of the law, what are we about? What is the great command for us as believers? What would govern our behavior? It is that. To love the people around us wherever we go. Be kind to people. What is love? We have to, you can go and dissect that simple command. What is love? Love is not just a feeling. We can We can get confused if our definition of love comes only from, you know, the rom-coms and the romantic movies that we watch and whatever. It's not just a feeling. A feeling can accompany it, but love first and foremost is a choice. It's a choice that leads to an action to the benefit of someone else. It is a choice. So what choices have we taken lately to act to the benefit of someone else? What choices are we making? How do we express our love? Because if love isn't expressed, if it's not communicated, well, then it's not love. Love, you've got to love someone, and for you to effectively love them, they need to experience it from you. You need to do it in some kind of a way. Your neighbor, that's everyone that you encounter. Friends and acquaintances alike, people that you walk past in your day-to-day. That person's your neighbor. Sometimes we forget that neighbor also means the person living next door. Do you know the people next door? Do you know, have you shared something with them? How are you loving your neighbor? Are you loving them by just building a higher wall separating your homes? In Franschhoek, we don't have many examples of that, but in the cities, it's like that everywhere. Man, some neighborhoods look more like Alcatraz. Everyone's got electric fencing all over. Your neighbor can't even, you know, shake your hand over the wall without getting shocked. Your kid kicks a ball over the wall and you say, sorry, that's it. You're never getting that ball back, you know. Your neighbor won't let you in if you knock on the door. Stay away. We need to get to know the people around us. It was a challenge at conference last year. Rick Russo painted a picture of this matrix of basically 9 blocks and you the block in the middle, and try and color in the blocks around you just simply in terms of people living around you, just in the geographical space around you. Can you color those blocks in with their names and what they do? And then thirdly, you know, when it comes to relationship, can you write down there what are their dreams for their lives? Because now you're starting to get to know someone. Yo, and I think many of us would struggle to fill in maybe even 3 of the 9 blocks. So there is a lot of work for us to do, and we really need to trust the Lord for His help in that regard. Really, how to do that most fundamental of commands, how to live it out in terms of loving our neighbors. And then, obviously, it ends off with saying, as yourself. You're not going to get very far if you don't love yourself either. And selfish society. People looking out only for themselves. And that's who I was before I came to know the Lord. I was looking only toward my own interests, just to advance myself. And, you know, it's, you got gray areas all around you where, you know, you can so easily justify taking advantage of others just so that you can be advanced or benefited in some way. And we are called to live in the opposite. We are called actually to lay down our own interests, our own desires, to deny ourselves. Self-denial, that's difficult. That's why we sometimes find it very difficult to fast, you know. Deny myself one of the basic necessities to actually exist. Stop eating for a while in order to see God's purposes. Doesn't seem logical, or it's not in the realm of logic. It's something spiritual. Something that reminds us that we are first and foremost spiritual beings. And God honors that, and He blesses us with just a high-speed connection in that time. And it's awesome. It's not to say you can't connect with God without fasting, but God honors it, and it's a special time when you're fasting with the Lord. But we find it hard to deny ourselves. We find it hard to not look out for the big eye and to start looking out for others. We need to reach out. We need to allow the love that God has blessed us with and poured out in our hearts by the Spirit that He gave us to flow through us. We can't well it up. We can't dam it up. It's a use it or lose it deal with God. We need to start flowing. So, denying yourself, looking out for others, being humble, doesn't mean you think less of yourself. God is not calling us to pretend or believe that we are doormats for others to just step all over. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Starting to think more of others. As we grow in the Lord, this starts to characterize our prayer lives. Initially, and for good reason, when we come to the Lord, our prayer lives are dominated by prayers for ourselves. We need help in this area and that area. We need healing here and there. And that's how it is. We're born again as newborn babies in the Lord, similar to newborn babies in the world. You know, they cannot really help themselves. They need everything done for them. And it's all about them. They cannot help anyone else yet. They can't even help themselves. And so when we new in the Lord, our prayer lives are dominated by personal prayers. But as we grow in the Lord, as we start maturing, as we start growing up, we start praying more and more for other people. So that's often a good gauge that we can measure our growth with. Just for yourself, you can think, if I have to allocate a percentage, just roughly, in terms of my prayer life, how much time do I spend praying for myself and my own needs? How much time do I spend praying for other people and for their needs? It's a sign of maturity that if you want something that you know someone else also wants, that you pray for them for that thing. You know, but often it's like, well, at least I want to be first in the queue, you know. Often we find it works that way. The more you pray for someone else, if you're single and you want to get married, the more you pray for someone else to find their spouse, and then before you know, God has blessed you with someone. So let's be those kind of people. You see, you can't live with blinkers on if you're going to fulfill that word. You actually got to be aware of what's going on in other people's lives. You got to inquire, you got to ask. You've got to be interested. You've got to care. Then you've got to start doing something about it. Sometimes we rather don't want to know because we realize then I'm going to have some kind of responsibility towards it. But no, Jesus came to get His hands dirty. He got stuck into people's lives when other people didn't want to. When other people banished the lepers to a colony, Jesus went there. And we must follow in His footsteps. We can go and seek out the needs. Do we know what are the needs in Franschhoek? What are the big prevailing needs in our valley? Because as children of God, He has given us everything we need to do something about it, to start doing something about it. Together we can do so much more. outflow. Acts 10, verse 42. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people. Now, I asked Sister Liesel to preach her first sermon on the 5th of June this year, and she was a little bit nervous. You all know Liesel, not one who's generally shy of speaking, but she was a little bit nervous when I asked her to preach. She said, just don't call it preaching. So I'm like, okay, would you like to share with the church? Just share. So I said, okay, that's better, you know, and her nerves started to calm down. So if preaching is an intimidating word there, you know, because it's true for us as well, you know, just think of it in slightly different terms. It's just sharing what you've been taught. We can actually all go and share from what we've heard other people ministering. We can go and share. There's no copyright on the Word of God. God wants us to share it. People today, more and more, they despise this notion of having to be accountable for their lives. People don't want to hear that they have to give an account of their behavior and their thoughts at the end of their lives to a God who's going to judge them and who will decide where they're going to spend an eternity. People don't want to hear that. People today in many parts of the world, and certainly in the West, often what they want to hear is that there's no such thing as absolute truth. So how can you tell me that your God is the only God, is the only way, is the right God that even exists? You know, when we are sharing with people, we are not called to get into arguments with people. Those are futile. Because you could win that argument, but you can lose the person. We're not called to argue, but we are called to witness. We are called to give a defense for the hope that is in us. So we can just share something in love. That's key, the truth in love. That means you don't get nasty when you talk to people. And if they start, you know, pulling punches, then you step back. Because it hurts when you get punched. But you can step back and you can step out of it. And you just bless them. Let your last words be words of blessing. Just say, although I disagree with you, I just want to say I love you and I bless you. Bye-bye. That we keep the testimony and the honor of our Lord intact. We are His representatives. We are His ambassadors. The way we behave reflects in people's minds on who God is, on His nature and His character. So we need to remember, as the Word says, to walk worthy of the calling. We need to walk worthy of the name of our Lord. That's why sometimes as brothers and sisters in church, we need to have some stern words with each other. If we see a brother or sister, you know, falling in some area or, you know, doing something that can actually, at the end of the day, bring the name of the Lord into disrepute, then we need to say, hey, we've got to stop this. Let's have a look. What is happening here? What is the reason? How can we help? Preaching. Acts 20, verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Okay, so ministering the gospel and then also testifying, that's another way that we can love our neighbor. People, the gospel is good news to all those who hear it. But it is only good news if it gets there in time. Last night, driving back from Newlands, unfortunately. Yeah, Lions support this. Well done to the Lions. It was very sad. We drove past the accident scene, and there was a guy lying in the road, seemingly lifeless. And all the emergency services were there and so on, and it was on the highway. And so immediately just started praying. But just a continuous reminder every so often, life is so, you know, it's unpredictable, and it's so fleeting, so short. It can end at any time. Are you right with God? Was that person right with God? You know, we can just pray for God's mercy. But when we have the answer, it's almost criminal to keep it to ourselves, when we know that people are walking a path that leads to ultimate destruction. We need to share. Testify. What does that mean? That's sharing out of my own life. And the word by implication means, do it again, Lord. What you have done for me, do for another. This is what the Lord did for me. Or you see someone who's going through some kind of challenge that you've also been through, and now you can go and share with them. You've got some common ground. There's a platform there, and you can share and say, you know, God, He carried me through that. I'd love to pray for you and pray that He would do the same for you. Put your trust in Him. Testify. Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. To testify is a powerful thing. To speak the truth. No one can deny it. That's the beauty of a testimony. People mostly don't even try because they realize that. That's logic would dictate. They cannot argue with your testimony because you were there and they weren't there. Powerful. Now that's Paul that's saying these things. And it's like, okay, fair enough, Tiens, but you know, this is super Paul that we're talking about. Super apostle, super evangelist, all of these things. Okay. This is just us. What can we do? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that was in Paul, is the same Spirit that is in you. It wasn't Paul doing this on his own. When Paul was on his own, he was killing Christians. But with the Spirit of God in history, he's probably one of the most powerful and anointed ministers and apostles that there's been. God can do anything if we just dedicated like Paul was dedicated. If we just get our priorities right. So he says he puts the past behind him. Considers his life worth nothing. He's going to do it all for the sake of the gospel. He's going to finish the race and complete the task that God has given me. What task has God given you? For each believer, it's going to look slightly different. Do you know what it looks like? Have you inquired of the Lord? Lord, so why did you put me here on earth? Okay, so I've got that basic framework. I know I must be in relationship with you. I must receive your love and reciprocate. I must love other people. But Lord, how am I going to do that? What does that look like? What am I doing in Franschhoek in this time? Why do I work here where I work? What is the reason? Is it just to earn an income so I can put food on the table? What is it for? So I want to submit to you that your job and where you are, it's not merely coincidence. It's not just a random occurrence. God has put you here for a reason. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. And first and foremost, our lives, in terms of our purpose and our callings, are about the people around us. How are we going to influence them for the kingdom? Where's the outflow? How's it going to happen? We need to ask God. We need to partner with Him on a daily basis. We cannot think we have the blueprint for tomorrow yet. We need to. Tomorrow's going to have different challenges from yesterday. We need to inquire. We need to be alert and alive to the Spirit. We need to be sensitive to His prompting. But it is that Spirit, it's the Spirit that was in Paul, that is in you, that is going to help you. Testifying is powerful. Watch this in John 4:39, the woman at the well. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. She is actually on record the first evangelist. After her encounter with Jesus, she went back to the town and she told everyone about Him. And many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus after that point. Testifying as to what God did in your life, the encounter that you had with Him, testifying of that, sharing that, telling that to other people is powerful. And many can come to salvation through that. Your testimony can change lives. Don't despise your testimony. Everyone has a testimony. Share it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. So Paul says, you know, he wasn't actually one that was very good with words. He wasn't very eloquent in his speech. You know, sometimes we feel, yeah, I could share something, but you know, I'm really, when it comes to speaking with people, you know, I'm quite inadequate. You know, I'm not quite up to it, up to scratch. It's not about that. You know, we're not constrained to what they would say in entertainment or in just worldly terms constitutes a good speech, you know, where it's all about the delivery and only 7% about the content. And when it comes to the gospel, you can throw that out the window because it's about the heart. When you're sharing the truth with people under the power of the Holy Spirit, it's all about the heart. It's what's coming through. And the Holy Spirit just wants to use you as a channel. It's all Him. It's just a place where we are a channel for the Lord. And so we don't need to, I mean, from the outside, that speech, you know, might not sound like it's going to blow anyone away, but you connecting with someone specific, someone that God has prepared. It's a divine appointment. And you're just a channel, and the Holy Spirit is flowing through you to that person. and bringing conviction, and that person's life can change whether you're good with words or not. But God doesn't care whether you got natural abilities in terms of speaking. He looks at your heart. Are you willing? Are you prepared for Him to use you? Are you available? It's not so much about ability, it's about availability. John 3, verse 11. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. We have to be prepared for the inevitability that some people that you share with are not going to receive what you say. Because sometimes we miss God. Sometimes we think that I need to share with this person, but actually, you know, God was wanting you to share with the person next to them. You know, we can all hear wrong. And so we go ahead in presumption, or we share with someone that's not ready. Time is not yet. But we go ahead and we share, and they don't receive it. Their hearts are still hardened. So we must be prepared to face that rejection, realizing that actually the rejection is aimed at Christ and not at us. But that's fine. We share with Christ in all of that. But Christ knows how to deal with it. He's not intimidated by that. He went through all of that in person. He went through it. He knows how to deal with it. And He still loves the person. What I'm trying to say is that if you face rejection, you know, don't be discouraged, don't be put off. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, that's it, I'm never going to share with anyone again. I tried, look, Lord, I tried. Doesn't work. Don't entertain those thoughts. At some point, we're all going to get rejected by people when we share with them, but we must keep going. We must keep going. We want to finish the race. As Paul said, he wants to finish the race. We mustn't quit. We don't give up. Life is full of setbacks. Imagine if you gave up on everything. Well, then it's amazing that you're still breathing, because sometimes breathing can be difficult. You know, I sometimes suffer from asthma. And if I was someone who would give up at every setback, then I would say, I'm just going to quit breathing. This is too hard, you know. Well, then I wouldn't be here today. So I'm not one who likes to give up. We keep going. And I want to encourage you, keep sharing. Don't quit sharing at the first sign of resistance. You know, that actually put a positive spin on it. You're on the right track. The enemy doesn't like what you're doing. Acts 22, verse 18. Saw the Lord speaking to me, quick, He said, leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. We need to rely more and more on the Holy Spirit in everything we do, more especially when we're ministering and sharing the gospel. You see, because if our goal is for someone to get saved, someone to pass from death to life, step into relationship with Christ, get born again, if that is our goal, we better believe and know that that cannot happen without the Holy Spirit's presence. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people of their need for salvation. Without that, they cannot get saved. So we need to depend on Him from the get-go and ask Him, okay, who should I go to? Who should I share with? And start praying before you start sharing. speak to God about man before speaking to man about God. And so here the Holy Spirit warned Paul and them that they ought not to go to Jerusalem because the people there wouldn't receive what they had to say. In fact, that their lives would be in danger, that they ought to leave quickly. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit, firstly, with whom we should share and when. We need to trust the Lord for divine appointments. Sometimes it's just not a very good time to share with someone. You know, there's no point in rushing it. And there's no point in trying to share with someone when they are seriously distracted. We need to wait for the right time. Timing is everything. Timing is everything to God. Otherwise, we'd all have been saved, you know, at the same age or whatever, or, you know, everyone would be saved. But God has a specific time for every single person. He's committed to every single person. He's always there. He's always there where unbelievers are sitting in their homes now or wherever they might be. God is right there. And He's loving them, but He will bring them to the right time. And more often than not, there will be a believer in the mix. He'll bring a believer around, and there will be a conversation, and the Holy Spirit will be there, and there will be conviction, and Jesus is the one who saves. Timing. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. So that's good news. When God says go and preach, go and testify, He's not asking you to do it by yourself. He's saying, I'm with you to the end of the age. I'm with you. My Spirit is in you. Don't worry about what you're going to say. It will be given to you in that moment, because He's going to speak through you. So we all just need to walk closer, listen more attentively, be more sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to stay in step with the Spirit. Our confidence is not in our own ability. Let our confidence be in the Spirit. No one who's sitting here got saved by themselves. The Holy Spirit was there. Let's remember that when we're sharing with someone else, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. And there's no pressure on us to save someone. You cannot save anyone. But you better believe God wants to use you as a vessel in the process. But His Spirit is doing the work. Share the gospel. Testify. The last scripture, and it carries on from that first scripture where we read the word fragrance, being a fragrance of Christ wherever we go. And the verse is just after that, 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15 to 17. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Wherever you go, you are the aroma of Christ. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Very powerfully, Paul asked this question: who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, he says. Like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So, we're talking about outflow. We're talking about reaching out to others, sharing the gospel with others. And sometimes it can feel like such a burden, can feel like something so difficult, or for many of us impossible, you know, if we're not naturally good at speaking with other people or confronting strangers. can seem near impossible. But the good news is that it's always been that way. Even Paul himself asked, who is sufficient for these things? You know, how is it possible that the Almighty God would want to use us little people, inadequate and unworthy to do such a great work? But God ordained it in such a way, and He's God. We cannot argue with Him on His decision. We cannot tell Him He's wrong. We can't say He's wrong about us. We just need to accept the truth that each of us are good enough to be used by God. Each one of us. That each one of us has a specific plan and purpose, and it involves reaching out to others. It involves loving our neighbors, making that love real. And the truth is, God helps us every step of the way. But we need to be willing and available. We need to start more and more asking Him, God, who is it? Who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to share with? Lord, what you did in my life last week was so awesome, with that thing and how you helped me there. And Lord, I want to share that with someone who is going through the same challenge that I went through. Lord, I want to share that with someone. Bring someone across my path, Lord, that's going through that challenge. The Lord loves answering those prayers. And you can just be driving around or walking around, and you must just know you are the fragrance and the aroma. And just know that the Holy Spirit is with you, and the Holy Spirit yearns to minister to you and speak to you and guide you and direct you. That's His work, is to direct the church, to continue the work that Christ began. That's His work. And you can be walking around and completely unexpected, out of the blue, someone pitches up. You walk past someone and the Holy Spirit just says, that person. That's happened to me before. I'm on my way somewhere, driving through a neighborhood, and then the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go and speak to that person. Now, there's not even anywhere to park, you know. And but I mean, I'm going, and there's the person. I mean, I'm driving. So, okay, the person's already behind me. It's very easy to say, oh, Lord, you should have told me before the time. I'm already past. I'm on my way somewhere. I'm going to be late. You know, and I was going through those arguments in my head, and I'm like, Tiens, just be obedient. Okay, drive around the block, look for somewhere to park, step up to the person. And that person was busy mowing his lawn, and but he had his arm in a sling, his one arm in a sling. So I went up to him, and then I offered to mow his lawn, because he looked like he was struggling with his one arm. And, you know, just also wanting to strike up a conversation and everything. And he said, no, he's actually enjoying this. So, okay, yo, I don't know of that many people that enjoy mowing their lawn, especially if they've got one broken arm. And, you know, so I'm just there just to love this person. You know, Lord just said, go and love this person. And so I'm like, okay, I'd like to pray for your arm. And I prayed for his arm. And I mean, this guy's quite stunned, because, yeah, you know, a car pulls up and this guy gets out and offers to mow his lawn and pray for his arm. It doesn't happen every day. And and so he was quite taken aback. And anyway, I went on my way after praying for him. And I saw him a week later, and when I spoke to him and I asked him what happened to his arm, you know, that sort of just happened, and the doctor said it's going to be like 6 to 8 weeks or something. The following week, you know, I love this about God. He doesn't it doesn't always work that way. You know, sometimes he leaves a lot of room for our faith. But driving past there, the uncle was out there again about a week later, driving past the same road, and he didn't have the sling on anymore. You know, and he was busy gardening there and everything. And I just, you know, I just said, thank you, Lord. You know, he answered that prayer. I believe the man's arm was healed there. And it's just so rewarding when we experience that partnership with the Holy Spirit. You know, you really just feel part of what God is doing. It's just awesome to be there where God is busy moving. So I just want to encourage you guys, you know, Outflow, you are the fragrance. You are the aroma of Christ wherever you go. Just be available and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are just in awe, Lord, of how amazing you are, how good you are to each of us, what you have done for us. You are the Almighty. You are ever-present. You are all-knowing. You know us, Lord, and still you love us. You know us and love us with all our flaws and our faults. We just want to thank you for just your grace in our lives. Lord, that you have given us what we don't deserve. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you, Lord, when, Lord, we truly deserve, Lord, to be banished. Lord, you have drawn us in. You've made us part of your family. You've called us your children, that we can know we are. Lord, this morning we just want to come in and commit ourselves once more to that great command of loving our neighbors. Lord, we really, really want to see their lives change. There's so many people that we know, Lord, that are far from you, Lord, and it would be so amazing that day, Lord, that we see them worshiping you, that we hear them testify of your goodness and where we become family with them as brothers in Christ. Lord, we pray that you'd use us in this process, Lord. We just want to avail ourselves for that purpose, Lord, and we ask your help. As Paul said, Lord, none of us are sufficient for this role. Lord, the feelings that we often feel of inadequacy, they are real and they are true. But Lord, you say that you use us in spite of that. Lord, we ask that your Spirit might flow through us and touch the lives of the people around us. Lord, we truly want to be the aroma of Christ where we go. We want to permeate, Lord, the society around us. There where we are, Lord, in our places of business, in schools, in the art industry, hospitality, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, help us to truly permeate those circles and bring that fragrance of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have put us in this town for a time such as this. In Jesus' name, Father. I want to invite you this morning, if you are struggling to find God's purpose in your work, then I want to invite you forward. I want to pray for you, because I know God's got a massive plan for you at your place of work. We spend a lot of time at work and around our colleagues or with clients or suppliers. You know, God wants to use you there. You're not there just for the money. We need to change our thinking regarding work. Work is a blessing, But more than that, God wants to touch the people there through you. If you are going through a certain challenge at the moment, we'd love to pray with you as well and agree with you for God's hand in that, for Him to turn that one around. And most important of all, if you're not this morning in right relationship with Jesus Christ, then I'd love to pray with you and introduce you to the love of your soul. Jesus is the only one that can save you. I'd love to pray with you for that. God bless you. Enjoy your day. Enjoy some fellowship before you go home and some delicious turbidor. God bless. Thanks.